Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're digging into the science of Happily Ever After by Tai Tashiro. Sophie, I gotta ask, how many of us are still secretly waiting for that movie-style meet-cute to just happen?
Oh, I think we all are, Sam. And that's exactly the problem. Tashiro's whole point is that our brains are wired for short-term flings, not 50-year marriages. He says we're chasing the wrong things, and it's making us miserable.
Right, the spark. That electric feeling you get on a first date. I always thought that was the sign, you know? Like, if it's not there, why bother?
Exactly. But Tashiro calls that limerence. It's basically a neurochemical cocktail of dopamine and norepinephrine. It's designed to bond you long enough to reproduce, not to sustain a marriage. It always fades.
So we're all just chasing a chemical high that's guaranteed to wear off. That's depressing.
It's freeing, actually. Once you know the spark is a terrible predictor of long-term happiness, you can stop panicking when it's not there on date one. Some of the best relationships start as slow-burning friendships.
Okay, so if we shouldn't trust the spark, what should we look for? Please tell me it's not a checklist of must have a six-pack and a trust fund.
No, it's way more practical. Tashiro calls them the big three. And they're not about looks or charm. They are kindness, agreeableness, and emotional stability.
Kindness, agreeableness, and emotional stability. That sounds, honestly, a little boring.
That's the trap, Sam. We think boring is bad. But these three traits are the strongest predictors of a stable, satisfying marriage. A kind, agreeable, stable partner is a good friend, a fair fighter, and a reliable teammate.
All right, I'm with you. But how do you actually spot these things on a dating app? Everyone looks great in their profile.
That's where Tashiro's advice to date like a social scientist comes in. Instead of hoping for a spark, you go on a date to collect data. You ask questions that reveal character, not just their favorite travel destination.
Like what? What's your attachment style? That'll go over great.
You don't have to be that blunt. He suggests questions like, what are you most proud of in your life so far? Or describe the best relationship you've ever seen. And pay attention to how they talk about their exes. If it's all blame and no self-reflection, that's a huge red flag.
Okay, that makes sense. Get them talking about something real instead of just the highlights reel. But what about the whole attractiveness gap thing? That part felt a little harsh.
It is a little harsh, but it's also realistic. Tashiro says being obsessed with finding a 10 is counterproductive. People who are extremely attractive often have less incentive to develop kindness and agreeableness because their looks carry them.
So you're saying I should aim for a solid 7 who's a 9 in character, not a 9 who's a 4 in stability?
Exactly. The happiest couples tend to be equally yoked in overall desirability, which includes looks, intelligence, ambition, and emotional health. If you're realistic about your own mate value, you'll stop being chronically disappointed.
I still struggle with the idea of mate value. It sounds so transactional.
I get it. But Tashiro's point is that we're already doing this unconsciously. We just overestimate our own value and reach for partners who are out of our league, and then we wonder why we're single.
So what about when you're already in a relationship? Is this book just for singles? Because I feel like a lot of my friends could use a relationship audit.
That's the brilliant part. The book is for everyone. Tashiro talks about how to maintain a happy relationship using John Gottman's research. You know the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling.
Contempt is the big one, right? The eye rolls, the sarcasm, the feeling of superiority. That's the relationship killer.
Yes. And successful couples don't avoid conflict. They fight fair. They keep a ratio of about 5 positive interactions to every 1 negative one. They also turn towards their partner's bids for connection, like a smile or a question, 86% of the time. Unhappy couples only do it 33% of the time.
That's such a simple thing. Just paying attention and responding when your partner reaches out.
It's simple, but it's powerful. And then there's the part about knowing when to leave. Tashiro says staying in a bad relationship is a greater tragedy than being alone.
That's tough to hear, but it's true. If your partner is chronically unkind or emotionally unstable, and they're not working on it, you have permission to go.
Exactly. And the book gives you a framework for doing that with grace, so you can learn from it and make a better choice next time.
So the whole thing is really about becoming a better chooser, not finding the perfect person. That takes the pressure off, doesn't it?
It does. It replaces this vague hope for a fairy tale with actual agency. You're not waiting for destiny. You're actively building a happy ending.
You know, the part that really got me was the rescue fantasy. I think we've all believed we could love someone enough to change them. But Tashiro says that's a recipe for a lifetime of frustration.
Oh, totally. You can't date someone for their potential. You have to date them for who they are right now. And if they're not kind, agreeable, and stable, they're probably not going to magically become that way.
So, what are you taking away from this book? I mean, for real.
I think for me, it's that I've been trying to find a soulmate, but I should be looking for a good partner. Someone who's kind, stable, and makes me laugh. The spark is nice, but it's not the foundation.
And I'm taking away the idea that I should date like a scientist. Ask better questions, observe more, and not fall for the curated version of a person. It's like doing homework before you fall in love.
And honestly, if you want to go deeper on this, the whole library's over at 7minutebooks.com/app with over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. It starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 once for lifetime access. So, the big lesson from Tashiro is that happily ever after isn't a myth, but it's a construction. You build it with kindness, stability, and deliberate choice, not with magic. We'll see you in the next one.